This is the One Nation Road Podcast, an all-ages podcast about that overnight camp in Brookline, New Hampshire. You know, 03033. You'll hear stories and anecdotes from special guests and find out how camp life has changed over the years. Okay, everybody, time for lineup.
Welcome to episode 3 of the One Mason Road Camp Tevye podcast. I'm your host, Rob Goodwin. My guest tonight has been a part of the Tevye community since 1988. He's had many roles, almost too numerous to mention, from camper to CIT to counselor, boys head counselor, director, and has stayed involved giving camp tours, among other things. Welcome, Matt Brandt. How are you?
I am good. Thanks for having me.
No, I've been looking forward to getting together because I know bits and pieces, you know, about Tevye today. And so I really look forward to you filling in some blanks. So, good.
I can fill in all the blanks.
Fantastic. Fantastic.
I mean, that's a big promise. I don't know if I can fill in all the blanks. We'll see.
Well, I mean, you know, we have at least a couple hours.
Perfect. No.
So 1988, how did you get acquainted with Tevye and which bunk did you start in?
So, in 1988, I have an older sister who's 3 years older than I am, and I'm from Peabody, Massachusetts, for the world listeners. Mm-hmm. And there were a number of people older than me who were already coming to Tevye from Peabody, and so I was sort of last in the chain. So it was a predetermined thing for me. Although, looking back, I started at camp a little bit later than, in retrospect, than I would have liked. I started in bunk 3, Nahalal, at the time. I was 10, turning 11 that summer.
Gotcha. Yeah, and I started in bunk 2, Herzliya.
Mm-hmm.
So, I didn't start in Yavne either.
Yeah.
So when did you know being director was in your future? Like, was it a line in the Kalena 1 year? Or?
Oh, yeah, like a superlative, most likely to be director. No, I think that for me, and I was like a mama's boy, so the idea of overnight camp was actually quite scary, but it didn't take long to sort of get hooked, like I think so many of us. And so after I finished my days as a camper and then was a CIT, and then I was a counselor, so I did 4 years as a Yavne counselor, and then I went to Israel as a counselor for Dor LaDor, and then graduated from college, and then came back to camp to be a Yavne counselor again. So I did 5 in Yavne. I dare anybody to beat that. But then I just kept coming to camp every summer and getting more and more responsibility. And in 2008, or actually it was a little bit before that, the position was open, and I have spent a bulk of my career working for tech startups, and they have pretty quick lives, or can have quick life cycles. So the timing was just right. So I like reached out to the Cohen camps and we had a series of conversations and took over in the fall of 2008. Which was roughly 5 months after my first daughter was born, and 4 or 5 months, or actually at that point it was like 7 months before my second daughter was born.
Mm-hmm.
So my first summer as director was 2009, but I started working in the early fall of 2008, so I had the full cycle.
Yep. And so you give tours currently during the summer?
Yeah. Among other things, yeah,
among we do. Other things.
My wife and I, my wife is from Tevye as well. I've never stopped since 1988 being involved. I can't think of a single summer between now and 1988 where I wasn't doing something. So for a bunch of years, when I was a counselor, I did the Kalenu, and then I helped in a variety of ways. But when my daughters both started attending, my wife and I were responsible for doing the Kalenu. So we did that for a while, and then I would also go up to camp on Sundays typically to do tours. And just this past summer, my wife and I ran what's called Tri-Camp, Tri-Tevye for a Day. And we'll do that again this coming summer. And Tri-Tevye for a Day is like a morning at camp where younger prospective campers can come up and the parents get there. We had, 60 or 70 people last summer. So the parents get split up into tour groups and the kids get split up into age groups and the kids go off and do like a short camp day. So they tour around with members of the Kadima program and they go do boating and canoeing and they do some athletics and they do some dance and they do a bunch of different things. And then it ends with like a lunch at what it's called the pavilion and sort of in the area where the Dell is. So it's great. I love giving the tours. I love talking to people about camp.
So Camp for a Day is not for older kids like me.
It sure is. You want to come and you can come up this summer and give a tour. How's that? It's really fun.
I think I need a map, and I think I need to go through that virtual tour about 100 times before I'd even be ready to give a tour.
You'd be surprised, I think, how quickly it would. I mean, you'd maybe need a cheat sheet for some of the things that are different, but the buildings are in the same places.
Right, right. And there are signs now pointing you where to go, right? They were never signs.
That's right. And the only sign was the sign of like a Bogrim camper pointing in the wrong direction intending to get me to go where I wasn't supposed to be.
Exactly. Yeah. So let's talk about the Kalaina a little bit. That's changed because as Mark Allen and I talked in episode 2, they used to be given out at Final Banquet.
That's right.
Used to be a big deal, and that is no more.
Correct. Right? And I can tell you, I heard that episode. I can tell you why that change was made.
Because we all stayed up too late at night?
No, I mean, it's actually, there's a good reason for it. I mean, that night was so much fun. I remember doing it, but it changed when I was doing the cleaning, actually. And for a couple of reasons. One, what it turned out that, and I've done a couple of the books when we had that original format, the one you remember. Part of it was, if camp was 8 weeks back then, and now it's 7 weeks, but if it was 8 weeks, we had to turn in the blue boards, the boards that had all the glued on, words and pictures and things like that. We had to turn it in like the fifth week of camp, which meant barely anybody from the second month was ever included in the Kalaina, other than the single picture, right? Second month Oles, second month Sofs, second month Bogues. And then sometimes there would be, I don't know if you ever experienced this, sometimes there would be like Color War would have just started, maybe. And so there would be a picture that says Sharon wins, Negev wins, Galil wins.
Yes.
And then you'd have to like page whatever it was, 85A, 85B, and 85C. And then the books would all come back and you'd have to rip out the two pages.
Right, right.
It didn't make sense.
And I have the 30 copies of the one that says Negev wins when we came in last.
That's right.
Yeah.
Right. And then it got more complicated. In 1993, there was a fourth team. Yarden was added. So there's four teams. There have been pages.
No.
I know Yarden had been there in the past.
Yeah. 79 was the first year. Right.
Then it came back in 93. So what also happened was the book switched to being digital.
Of course.
So we started in the Kalaina shack. We got a computer. And not just like a typewriter, like a word processor. And the whole book was done sort of online. So now the book is, not only is it, when we were campers, it was around 150 pages. Now it's significantly shorter than that. But it's digital and sort of everybody who's there all summer is included. They get their books at the reunion in November.
Gotcha. And how many kids attend the reunion?
A pretty good number, actually.
Yeah.
And for those who don't, it gets mailed out. And they still do for those people who haven't been there. That last night, there is still a slideshow, although it doesn't involve six carousels of actual slides and somebody pressing like a CD player or a tape deck and then having to switch the slides. It's a digital slideshow. And then they call it Cry Fest. I don't think the camp officially calls it that. The campers refer to it that way. And so there is still a significant amount of crying, but they're just not signing books for each other. They're just crying with each other. So, the effect is the same.
Yeah, we didn't have a name for it.
Right, right. And the reality is you don't have to have carpal tunnel as a counselor. because you're writing 75 times. Have a great year. Keep in touch.
But that was the fun part, though.
That was, I mean, I did enjoy it a little.
Yeah.
And you could tell what the person's name was because you just had to look at somebody else's signature.
Right, right. Yeah. Or they'd write their whole thing like on a picture of themselves.
Right.
You know, so it's like that picture is now no good.
That's right.
Yeah. So fill me in on the Kadima program and mm-hmm. even Door to Door, the travel program.
Yeah, so Door to Door. And I believe before I was a camper, that the trip to Israel, CIT program was a bit different, like in my camper days. But when I want to say around 1995, the Door to Door program, as we know it today, started. So after Birin Tel Chai, everybody from all three of the Cohen camps who wanted to participate in the Door to Door program would do that. And it was a trip to Israel. When I was the counselor, it was 5 weeks, and then we would come back to camp for 2 weeks, or you know, just under 2 weeks. So that's what the essentially that program is now. It's not really a CIT program. It's this sort of world tour. So it has been Israel for 28 years, and last year, because of what's going on in Israel, the trip was changed. My older daughter was a participant in that trip last year. My younger daughter will be a participant this year. They went to Portugal and Spain, and they had the best. You know, it's a Jewish cultural trip, mm-hmm. And it's with all three camps. And they come back to camp. So because camp's only 7 weeks, the trip is around a little more than four weeks, and then they come home for a couple of days, and then they go back to camp for the final 12 days. So if camp starts on a Wednesday, they start their trip the following Sunday. So this year they're doing Portugal and Spain again. It's an awesome trip. They have an awesome experience. My daughter loved it. My younger daughter's, we are assuming, will love it as well.
Sure. So that's the CIT program. Essentially,
that's the CIT program is more closely aligned with what's called Kadima.
Oh, okay,
which is
okay.
The year after.
Understood.
It would have been what we know as our JC summer.
Sure, sure. And so, how has that changed?
So that is when I was a JC, was just a counselor with a different name. There was certainly no curriculum or teaching periods or anything like that. It was, you know, I was a full-time staff member. The Kadima program now, if anybody has been up to camp recently at Tevye, the Kadima, there are yurts where what was called the Ole Field, mm-hmm. these now permanent buildings, where the Kadima folks, these are campers who are young, you know, teenagers now, who participated in Door to Door and now come back. So they spend, basically what happens is they live in the yurts for the first half of the summer. And they are doing what we did as CIT. So they're assistant teaching in classes and getting a lot of exposure in the bunks and also participating in teaching class, like learning. There's curriculum associated with mm-hmm. The values of being a good counselor and being at a Jewish camp. And there's a lot of curriculum around that. And then those who are ready to become full-time counselors move out of the yurts at the end of the first session and into bunk. They're assigned, and so while they're not, I don't believe they're called junior counselors, that's effectively what they are for the second half of the summer. That opens up the yurts so that when the Door to Door kids come back from their trip, that's where they stay.
I see. Well, that makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. That makes a lot of sense. Yep. So this, okay.
There's this thing about, you know, there's a lot of, they get a lot of good learning there, certainly. There's also, if people are familiar with the American Camp Association and accreditation, these camps have to have a certain percentage. These are not things that I ever thought about as a camper. A certain percentage of the staff have to be over the age of 18. Mm-hmm. So one of the other sort of add-on benefits here is that these kids, not really kids anymore, but they when they become counselors, they're all older. So the percentage, when they're full counselors, they're essentially starting a year after we did, which puts them, like, the percentage of people over the age of 18 much higher.
Sure, sure. Well, that's kind of neat how the yurts are, you know, used by one group.
Yeah.
And then when the group comes back from Lador, they, that's where they are.
Yeah, and they're beautiful that's buildings. That's kind of cool. There's also a full, there's the yurts are essentially just cabins without any bathrooms. They have electricity, but there's another building right next to it that has the bathrooms and sort of some communal space, and it's where the counselors live. And it's great. So
the counselors live separately?
The Kadima counselors, yeah. I mean, my daughter is, these are kids who are all 17 and older. So it's not quite the same.
Right, right. No, it certainly isn't. It certainly isn't. No. Yeah, I've been thinking of doing an episode that kind of goes back and looks at Color War, or as we call it, competition, mm-hmm. and game day.
Yeah.
But both have changed a lot, right? Yeah. So Color War, the captains are no longer, well, have not, I guess, for a long time been chosen by popularity anymore.
Thank God. Yeah. I mean, I was never popular enough. But they are chosen with input, I think, from the counselors and the head counselors. They're ultimately chosen by the director and the administrative staff for the camp.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. And then, I mean, it looks like Color Wars.
Shorter.
Yeah, less than a week, right?
3.5 days typically.
Wow. So it's jam-packed.
But it's all the same. It's actually might be, so if we think back, and I'm not sure how your Color War was, but the like Songfest still happens, Aquatics Day still happens, there's all the All Camp Relay. We don't call it the Apache Relay anymore. It's called the Ha'ish Relay. Right. But it's the same. It still ends with the rope being burned. It's all the same stuff. The difference, I think, when I look back to my time as a camper, is that in between all of those big events, you would do 2 days of like regular athletics, and Sharon would play, you know, softball against Megan. Like all that. Now it's just condensed into the 3.5 days where everybody, you know, all of the big events are still happening. There's just the little events in between don't really, you're not sitting at your table in the dining hall and having a counselor tell you that 10 points for, you know, Galil.
Gotcha.
But it's great. You still get the chills every time you hear the Top Gun anthem play, or, you know, whatever the music is. And then when the camp, if you see videos or photos, and both my daughters actually, it's a bit of a sour subject. My wife was a co-captain for Sharon. Both of my daughters were Sharon captains, and I was none of those things. So when the camp all gathers on the Bogue Field, the Michael Jesser, now known as the Michael Jesser Bogue Field, and they all gather in the outfield grass, and the four sets of stakes are set up with the rope, and the burn that rope chants are starting, and the kids are all covered up in their bandanas and all that. It's just as exciting as it was, you know, all those years ago.
Right. And I mean, when I was a captain, it was 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. When I first started, it was the whole summer.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Was it too much? Incredible. Did you find like a whole summer is too much of it?
Well, I mean, I was young. Yeah, you know, I was 10, 11, so no. It's not like it was every event, you know. From my recollection, you know, there were some evening activities that were Color War related. Mm-hmm. There were some activities, you know, some sports during the day that were related, but I would say not everything.
Right.
You know, I guess it had been the entire summer for a number of years. Mm-hmm. I don't go back as far as the Aaron Gordon years, which I really want to learn about also. Mm-hmm. But yeah, two weeks seemed about right. Seems about right.
Yeah. I mean, that would make up almost half of the summer if it happened now. There are a lot of kids who, I mean, the nice thing about having the four teams, of course, is that more kids can participate in each event. But there are a lot of kids now. There are also, this is a tangent. There are way more activity choices now than there were when we were campers.
Right.
If you think about like all the electives when we were campers, like fit in, you know, like a small list. Now it's like a Cheesecake Factory menu.
I noticed that. Yeah.
And so there's stuff for everybody, a lot of variety, and a lot of kids don't optimize for Color War. It's not their favorite thing. It's not that they don't like it. It's a really well done set of days, but they're not, you know, they want to play more tennis, or they want to do ceramics, or they want to, like, it's so you get a little bit of everything, and you still get all the great traditions. And if I if I said to my daughters, hey, do you know that when I was your age, Color War was 2 weeks long? They would think, like, that's awful.
Right, right. Well, plus the fact that it's a shorter summer makes a big deal, too.
For sure.
You know?
For sure.
Yeah.
The older kids, too, have other, you know, like, the in the first session, the Kinneret Tel Yehuda kids are, in the second session, rather, the Kinneret Tel Yehuda kids are working on the banquet. And in the first session, the Birin Tel Chai kids are working on the banquet. They have, you know, the white water rafting trip. There's, like, other things that are really special to them, too. Color War is one of the things. It's a big thing, but it's just one of the many exciting things that happens in the summer.
Yeah, and I think you know, with the number of activities and the short summer, I think you just hit on some major differences, mm-hmm. and why they are,
yeah,
they've become the way they are. It makes a lot of sense.
Yeah,
yeah. And then so game day again. I'm kicking around an idea doing a show on game day and Color War, but how's that changed? I mean, I think the sports have changed. It's more co-ed than it was. Yeah.
It depends on the sport. So there's, like, Tevye still hosts the Tevye Invies in the second session. Tevye still participates in the YJ doubles tennis tournament in the first session. There's still softball and soccer and basketball tournaments and volleyball and Newcomb and sort of all those things. There are some other, there's an ultimate Frisbee team. It depends on if other camps also have those types of teams. So those aren't, like, the weekly game days are typically the standard that you would remember. Softball, volleyball, it really doesn't matter. But the softball, volleyball, Newcomb are sort of the staples, mm-hmm. and then the sort of tennis and basketball tournaments. There's also like an aquatics, like a water carnival that happens at Tel Noor. Like, there's all the different, a lot of the same things, at least from when I was a camper, just a couple of additions.
But the
game days themselves are, you know, you got your Tevye softball shirts with like the 3/4 length sleeves, and it's pretty much it's pretty similar.
Now, Natticook is no more, from what I understand.
Correct.
So
Natticook has had a starts and stops. I think he's a day camp recently, but
yeah, that's what I heard. Yeah. So is it still like Yavne Tel Noor bar? Is it bar still bar crest or not?
For the Invies, for the tennis tournament or basketball tournament, you'll get, it depends on who, if it's the boys tournament, then bar crest would be there, Avoda,
right.
You know, those types of camps. For the Invies, all those camps send teams, but for like the standard game days, it's Tel Noor, it's YJ, it's Yavne, like those camps.
Okay.
And you don't think, if you think about it, as two separate summers, right? The first session and the second session. Each session is 3.5 weeks. If you do one game day a week, you might have two, maybe three, depending on weather. You know, you try to get like three in, a session, and so then you're really talking about like one with YJ, one with Tel Noor, one with maybe Yavne.
Right, right. And Bauer Crest is not standard game day anymore.
No.
Was it when you were a camper, was it?
Only the basketball tournaments and the tennis tournaments.
Because they were our standard game day.
Oh, really?
So we'd send the Olo Newcomb and Sofo and Bogor volleyball to play Bauer Crest.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
How'd that go?
We pretty much every team lost. Didn't matter, softball or Newcomb or volleyball. Yeah. But maybe someone can someone listening can fill me in on whether this is true. I think Sofo volleyball won at Bauer Crest 1 year.
There you go.
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. They were always tough to compete against. I played on the Bogue basketball team when I was a camper, which for people who know me, that regularly surprises them, but I was a good basketball player. And they were tough.
Yeah. And I've heard about their rivalry in basketball with Camp Millbrook.
Oh, really?
Yeah, big time. I mean, more than we can imagine. It makes Tevye Tel Noor look like nothing.
That's fine.
You know,
I like to think Bauer Crest is a great camper. They have that really steep hill. Who wants to climb that all the time?
That's true. That's true.
Yeah.
And if I could say that I coached the SOFIM softball team in 82, and and we beat Bauer Crest at home on. Well, they didn't call it a walk-off, but it was a walk-off at home. So that was pretty neat.
A pretty big,
I still remember it.
it's a prideful thing. You know, it's amazing the things that, you know, one in the bubble of camp, the things that we have all like accomplished that we sort of hold dear as like huge in the pantheon of achievements. And then I tell, like, to tell people who aren't camp people and they're like, what are you talking about? It's like, not a big deal. Well, it is a big deal.
Yeah. I think it was a bigger deal back then, you know, cause you know, game day was, I'm sure you remember, was huge. I mean, we like my last year was 88, 85 and your first was 88. So we're, you know, 3 years, kind of 3 years apart there, but game day was huge. Was it too huge? Sometimes, you know, I look back and I think maybe, you know, cause it was a big deal.
Yeah. I mean, I remember as a camper, the game days was, it was, for me, it was huge. It was huge. If you made the team, that was a big deal. And the pep rally and like sort of like all the stuff associated with that. And it was, I mean, it was really fun. Right? There was no, to like to get on the bus and go to some other camp was like, it was just, it was fun.
Yeah. Yeah. And we used to always complain because Barcrest was the farthest, but it was only like an hour or 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Right. To us, it was like 5 hours long.
Well, on that bus with their sticky seats and the, like, you know, it's 100 degrees out and you're wearing shorts and the your legs stick to the, it was hard.
Yep. Yep. And, you know, we talked a little bit about, you know, a lot of the buildings have changed, but they're in the same spot that they used to be. But, I know that if you go out to Skunk Hollow to go water skiing, you're not going water skiing.
No,
right?
No, you are not. That's much better. This is one of the things. Over the years, I've watched many quote unquote traditions or like routines change. And there's always initially a little bit of resistance. This one was like when you think about it. So now if you're going water skiing, you get on the ski boat. The ski boat picks you up on the swimming docks, right? You just walk out in the crib, like where the crib is, to the left swimming dock, and the ski boat's just there, right? The outside of the swimming area, so because people don't swim in that sort of what we might have referred to as like the leech land, right?
Yep.
But if you think about it, like the activity period is however long it is, there's 10 minutes in between. Let's say that I am, you know, I had arts and crafts, so I'm in the girls' rec hall, and my next period I have water skiing, and I have to run back to my bunk. And I had just come from athletics maybe before that. So it's like maybe third period, right? I had athletics, then I went to arts. I didn't have time. So I go run back to my bunk, put on my bathing suit, walk all the way to Skunk Hollow. I have 10 minutes to do all of these things, right? Just so I can sit on the Skunk Hollow beach and like with the 10 kids who are taking water skiing and the four kids in front of me all get to ski and I don't. And now the period ends and I have 10 minutes to get all the way back, right? Like it just logistically didn't make any sense.
We did it forever.
I know.
We did that forever.
I know. And it was like, so this is a much more efficient and frankly safe, particularly for the little kids who don't need to do all that walking through the, you know, without a counselor. They just sort of go to the waterfront. When they're not skiing, they can sit on the beach. They're not alone. It's like it's much more efficient now.
Yeah, so when you were in Yavne, you were the farthest away from Skunk Hollow, even once you got back to the bunk to go out there.
Until Yavne switched locations, but yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's put that on the side for a second. So so I'm going out to Skunk Hollow to go to the water park.
Yeah.
How's that working out?
So that is what they refer to, because kids these days have to contract all the words, or the WARC, they call it. Because they refuse to call it the water park. So one word. Now you won't catch me doing any of that, but they love it. It is like a big for those who haven't seen pictures or been out to camp since, it's a big inflatable, you know, the slides and the bouncy things out where you remember Skunk, well, what is Skunk Hollow? Like out in the water there. So at the beginning of the summer during staff training, during orientation, all that stuff gets set up. And they actually have it as an activity period, similar to the way you might have nature and campcraft or She-Ra or something like that. So periodically, you get that as a period. And so your whole bunk goes out there and you just get to play on the water park. It's fun. They love it.
I'm sure they do. It looks like fun.
It's a big hit. It wouldn't have been something that I would have thought. I was not a big, huge waterfront person, but it was something that I thought would be as popular as it is. But people love it.
Sure. And then if I'm going sailing, I don't go down the steps from the SOF field anymore.
You do not. You go to the right side of the swimming area. Those boats are out there. Similar, so, in the boating canoeing area.
Boating canoeing. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, they just keep it all together there. It's like, and they're also gone, if you haven't been back, are the rusted, the 10,000 ton swimming docks that are one piece that had rusted holes in them. And at the end of the summer, the counselors had to lift them out of the water.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
And they were waterlogged. So those are replaced by much more modern, less likely to require a tetanus shot after you move them.
Right. That makes sense.
So that whole waterfront area is much has had some nice improvements over the years.
Yep. Sounds like it.
Yeah.
So when did the Bogue and the old areas switch?
1999. Yeah, I actually was. That was my fifth summer in Yavna, and I was up there for we didn't call anything. A couple of us were up there for what you might know as pre-camp, mm-hmm. and the head of maintenance at the time came up to me when I got there the first day, because everybody knew I was like always bunk one, and he was like, "So we switched the boys area." And so I'm like, "So wait, I'm in Telchai? What's like?" And then I looked into it, like why I asked, like why they made the change, and it's another thing that sort of makes quite a bit of sense, in retrospect. As much as I loved being terrified to go into what we knew as the Bogue area.
Yeah, well, that was the idea, sort of.
Right. This made sense. You had, for a couple of reasons, one of which being you had the smallest people in the boys area in the biggest bunk, and the biggest people in the boys area in the smallest bunk. And frankly, some of those big kids, when they were sort of isolated down there in what we knew as the Bogue area, were, let's say, more likely to try and cause some trouble than if they were in bunk order. Like, there is a logical progression of the buildings as well, where, like, bunk one starts at the beginning, goes all the way through, and then the girls' area, Dahlia, starts where Dahlia, that hasn't changed.
Right. So you're saying I was with a bunch of troublemakers?
I am saying that you, not knowing who, I'm just assuming, yes. I mean, I was in that age group at 1.2, and I don't consider myself to be a troublemaker. So there were some of us who weren't troublemakers. I'll count you in that group.
Well, and if I were a troublemaker, I couldn't tell you anyways.
That's right. And there was no internet to or any record of it. So it doesn't even matter. Didn't it happen?
Exactly. It didn't happen. No, we were good.
Of course you were. So
we were good.
It was actually not a bad switch. And then since then, so what you would have probably known as bunks 8, 9, and 10, and 11, mm-hmm. Gadna Masada, Tel Yehuda, Tel Chai, those buildings are still there, but there's another building where the trees, sort of the dark trees, where
yes.
you know, the scary part, where you yep. walk between bunk 7, bunk 8, and you tell yourself, don't run because, like, Three Finger Jed is going to come out, right? Like, don't run. Those trees are all cleared out now. There's another bunk there now.
I did see that in one of the tours.
They're beautiful.
That was online.
They're newer buildings. They're beautiful, but it means that there are additional bunks now in the boys' area.
Right.
So, it's great.
Good. Yeah. No, that's good stuff. I know that there are two awards given out, I assume, at Final Banquet, the David Min International Staff Leadership Award.
That's right. So the Min Award, and there are a couple of awards that have been given out for staff members, and then there's not a Camper of the Year Award, but there is. There's the what they call the Birian Telchai Award, which is I think sort of the equivalent of what we would have known as the Camper of the Year Award, of
right.
which I should say I was the recipient in 1992. Thank you very much.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. It's a huge honor. That's a good example of one of the huge honors of my life that people outside of camp don't care about.
Right.
So, and there's also the Aaron and Blanche Gordon Fellowship that goes to, as a scholarship fund that goes to counselors as well. So, there's a bunch.
And so the Camper of the Year Award, and then the other one, when I was going to camp, and I assume when you were, was the Gallo Sportsmanship Award.
Yeah, so there's no, they don't do those two. They might still do, maybe there is a sportsmanship, but I don't think so.
And what strikes me when I think back all those decades is that only boys were eligible for those two awards.
Really? See, that's
only boys.
That's really
interesting. And I think why, you know, because girls play sports and girls have leadership qualities, and it's just how it was.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I don't know if that's how it was like when you were a camper.
No, those awards were given out to everybody.
Oh, okay.
So that is a change that I think happened certainly before I started as a camper. I don't remember exactly when the Camper of the Year Award as we knew it switched to just the Beer and Tell High Award. Mm-hmm. I suppose the Camper of the Year Award could have gone in theory to any camper, but was always a one Tell High person and one Beer person.
Right.
So now it's, I guess, a little bit more explicit.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Final evening activities is, or it's not an awards night. It's an awards. It's like the banquet is usually, so like the banquet would be Saturday night, right? If camp was going to end on Sunday, let's say, or rather Tuesday, whenever it is, the night before Tuesday night.
Sure. Yep.
Right. Oh, the awards might be Monday afternoon.
Oh, okay.
Something like that.
Yeah, I've seen pictures of the awards being given out,
and all
the
department awards are given out at that time as well, and so then the 5 and 10 year mugs and sort of all that stuff.
Nice. Some new traditions there.
My whole coffee cabinet in my house is filled with 10 year mugs and 5 year mugs.
And your daughters still go to camp, obviously, like you had mentioned.
My older one is part of Kadima this summer, and the younger one, Dora Ladoria.
Fantastic. Do you have any burning questions you want to ask me from 1985 or earlier?
When was the last time you actually visited camp?
It was at a reunion. More than 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Shame
on me, right? Shame on me.
I mean, people have lives. Here's the question. So we just had our 85th reunion this past summer, but which I always think is fun. So I've never really had much distance since I started. But one of the things that I always find fascinating, and it'd be interesting to hear what you think about it, when I give tours, a fairly substantial percentage of them have at least somebody who came to camp as a kid and is now back with one of their own kids mm-hmm. and looking. And I find it entertaining and interesting to hear from them, like, what did it feel like to be back? Like, what felt different? Did camp feel bigger? Did it feel smaller? Is it weird? Like, what was, if you can remember, like, when you were, like, your first reactions when you stepped over those speed bumps or drove over those speed bumps and you saw whatever it is that you saw first, like, what did it feel like to see it again?
It seems smaller. I was wondering where was the willow tree at the crossroads?
Yeah, that you came know. Down in maybe the mid to late 90s.
Mm-hmm.
It was dying, I hate to say.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
That wasn't like a aesthetic choice. That was a beautiful tree.
Right. I mean, I know the dining hall has been redone.
Added on.
Yeah, added on to, yeah.
It's been touched up, but the bones of the building are basically the same.
Right. It looks smaller, but it looked the same. Mm-hmm. It still looked, still familiar.
One of the things that I think is kind of funny, like before the 85th, there was an opportunity for people to sleep in a bunk if they wanted to. Mm-hmm. And I had some friends who were like, are you going to do it? Like, no. But because I'm not 12 anymore, and my back will not appreciate if I do it. And just, but it is funny to see people's reactions to, like, camp is not dirty, right? But it is not, if you're not used to sort of the idea, for example, of like showering with flip-flops on, right? I guess it's a little bit like, I see my daughters are just about 17, just about 16. I see like people, friends with like babies, and it's like a totally foreign concept. I would not know what to do with that baby, right? It's been too long since I had to deal with that. And right, I think a lot of people have that same reaction when they're at camp. And we've, you know, there's been opportunities, not always, you know, for good reasons. The 85th is a great reason, but when we did the Phil Drasner Tennis Center, and when we did the Michael Jesser Bogue Field in the last couple of years, and there was a dedication of the Elbass stage this past summer for in Sherry Levine's name.
Yes, I heard that.
Like these types of moments are not, not happy to be, you know, part of those or to sort of be there for those things. However, it is always interesting to the people who come back and then share stories about their times in those spaces, and how different it feels to them. I think at the core, well, I guess that the way I like to look at it is my daughters had a very different experience logistically, operationally, tactically than I did as a camper.
Right.
However, the soft skills, the value that they got out of camp is exactly the same today. Like when I hear them, their camp friends come over. My older daughter, one of her best friends from camp is the daughter of Mike Gustat.
Okay. Right? Yeah.
Who not only if I grew up with Mike, but like that my daughter found his daughter, right? Like they're having the exact same experience. It's pretty wild when they share, although when they tell me like, Dad, you don't even understand the traditions of camp. I'm like, don't you know who I am? Like, I understand the traditions, but they're having the same stuff. So you see, you know, some of the buildings are a little bit different, or the water park and the water skiing happens in a different place, or, you know, whatever. The Elbass stage is a foot lower than it used to be, right?
Really?
Well, if you remember, like,
that
was like 95 or 96 when that changed. That stage, now I was tiny. So like the idea of getting up on that stage was like, it was higher than me. It was like 6 feet off the ground.
It was. Yep.
So like, and the floor was like a pure concrete. If you fell off that stage, and I actually, in 1992, I had a counselor who fell off the stage.
Yeah. That's been done before.
Terrifying. But so like things like that, like I get that, like we all have funny or less funny or stories from those things, but the kids now, they're getting the same stuff that we got. It's just in a slightly different way. So it's foreign to us, but to them, this is camp.
Right, right.
So I think it's fascinating, and because you know, 10 years, you should come back. You should have to come back and sort of come for a tour. You should come for a tour this summer. Why not?
I'll take that under advisement.
Yeah, it's fun. Yeah. I think it's fun, and you see, and camp has always been pretty receptive to having alumni come visit. You know, with the appropriate planning, but like to stay involved. And there's always an alumni Shabbat, even when there's not a reunion happening.
Sure, sure.
So that's always fun too. It's nice.
I still have friends there.
Oh yeah.
Dan Wolf.
So Dan is, I haven't seen him in a little bit, but like we periodically go out for dinner. He's the best.
He was the best when I knew him.
He's still the best.
Absolutely.
I hope he's listening.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Barbie Stevens.
Yeah. She's there too. I mean, she works in the central office.
Yeah. Stacey Smalley.
Mm-hmm. She runs Kadima.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she was also the head counselor for the Olote girls. When my daughters started.
And I know I'm missing someone.
I'm sure. I mean, this
John Cohen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people. Do you have the same, like, I might not see a camp friend of mine for decades, whatever it is, months, years, whatever it is. And the moment you see them the first time, it's like riding a bike.
Yep.
Right. Immediately back into it. And, I suspect it can be annoying for people who aren't, like, if someone has like a spouse, for example, who didn't go to camp, and then they get stuck in like a dinner with a group of people who did, I feel bad for them.
I know.
We're going to recount all the stories in that dinner.
That's right.
This is why I love going to the reunions. It's not because, I was talking with a few people who I reconnected with this past year, not because at the reunion I get to spend quality time with lots of people, because it's really more like speed dating.
Right.
But because I identify a handful of people who I would love to reconnect with. And then over the coming months, I go out for a coffee or get a meal or something. It's really nice. It's a nice thing to do.
Oh, I know. I know who, one person I failed to mention.
Who?
Adina Cohen.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
She was director in the year 2001 and 2002.
Yep.
She was director and I worked with her. She's
sure. These.
Ziegler now. She's Adina Ziegler now.
Yes. It's been great. I appreciate you helping me get caught up on all the new lingo and everything that's changed. Because while it's very different, a ton of it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. My pleasure. I would encourage anybody listening, if you haven't been involved or you haven't come to visit, like, you should check in. Camp is, I think you'll find it's pretty similar. And if you look closely, you might still see your name written in a rafter somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Or on a brick somewhere.
Or in a brick. That you can do too.
Mm-hmm.
Range for that. But that's
yep.
There's a lot of fun to. I don't think I'll ever leave, bet for better or worse.
Well, that's good. Well, thanks for joining me tonight, Matt. It's been a real pleasure.
Thanks for having me.
So if you'd like to be a guest or have ideas for future episodes, you can reach me via Facebook Messenger, text me, or email me at info@onemasonroad.com. Please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. If you're under age 13, be sure to get your parents' permission before subscribing. You can also listen at www.onemasonroad.com. And don't forget to join the One Mason Road Camp Tevye group on Facebook. Thanks, Matt Brand, for spending some time with me tonight. Thanks for listening, everyone. Keep in touch.